desire that we might present to you the truth of God and not stray from it. And if you're visiting today, we especially thank you. You are our special and honored guest to us. And if we have anything to say that may be questionable or something that you might have question about, we would beg you to bring it forth to our attention. And we'd be happy to discuss and study with you on these matters. This morning, I want to talk about a subject that is common to us all here, and it's about apostasy. And I also want to point out this apostasy is something that we need to always be concerned about as children of God, because it's something we always have to be wary of. It's always about, it has been here since the beginning. Since God created the heavens and the earth, He put forth man upon the earth, He had given instruction to men, and those instructions were not followed. A turning away had happened. And I want to discuss just for a few moments this morning about apostasy of our time. What is the apostasy of our time? Well, before we do that, we need to ask ourselves a question. Exactly what is apostasy? There are some may not be clear on exactly what apostasy is. Apostasy is a simple just falling away from the true faith and or worship of God. This assumes or there is a normal or an original pure form of this service to God, which also should be maintained. And being maintained, it's something that needs to be constant. As children of God, we need to be constantly aware that apostasy can and will exist. In Jeremiah's time, in Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, in Jeremiah's day, the people of Israel had fallen away from the true worship of God. The Lord said to them about their apostasy. He said, "Stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk in it. Also, I will set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet." But they said, "We will not listen. Therefore, hear you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it." Israel had rejected the word of God. He simply said, look for the old paths. He knew that they were already straying away from things that were instructed, things that were supposed to be done, and the instruction given by God from the very beginning. But they said, "We will not walk in it." He said, "Listen to the trumpet." The trumpet was supposed to give instruction what the children of Israel were to do at that time. It was specific in nature. But they said, "We will not listen." So apostasy is this falling away from the true faith or the true path that God had given us. It involves a rejection of the Word of God in favor of something new and different. From the beginning of time, man has always tried to veer away, come up with some new idea or some new way of thinking that they can think better than what God can. Paul associates this coming apostasy with the man of lawlessness. He states this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. He also calls this the lawless one in verse 8. It is someone who sets himself against or is anti and above all that is called God in verse 4. Apostasy is related to the lawlessness of the action in verse 7. So we can see here that this lawlessness or without law has to do with apostasy. In John's discussion, John speaks of the Antichrist in 1 John chapter 2, both in verse 18 and 22. He defines the Antichrist as many deceivers who has gone out into the world in John, 2 John chapter in verse 7. They are people who go beyond and do not remain in the doctrine of Christ, 2 John verse 9. He also speaks of the spirit of the Antichrist, or this action that is happening in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3. So this Antichrist, this lawless one, is one who creates apostasy. It comes forth by an action who says, I have a new and different way, and I will not abide in what you're telling me. I'm going to do things the way I want to do them. It is a perversion of the original gospel. Paul also speaks to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Paul writes, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who had called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who want to trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel of heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached, let him be accursed. Once again, you see that there were those in Galatia that were turning away to a new and a different gospel, something that had not been taught by God or his apostles. And of course, we know in Jude, verse 3, he says, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Just contending earnestly for the original way or for the original path that was set forth by God. Paul was not just marveling that there would be those who would fall away. He knew that there would be those who would fall away. And they would do so to after Christ. And the gospel brought forth by the apostles at that time, they would turn away from that. So should we marvel at the departure? No. But what is apostasy? Apostasy is a departure from the original faith. It is a perversion of the original gospel by people who do not remain in that doctrine of Christ, that original path that was set forth by God. Apostasy is leaving the old paths prescribed by God and going off on their own. They want to abide in something that does not belong to God. The lawlessness is a rejection of that word of God. And it causes this rebellion that is against Christ. And it also self-exalts one above what God has mandated that we should have. It was foretold in the Old Testament. It was foretold in the New Testament. So we should not marvel. Even though Paul said, I marvel that you're turning away so soon, he was marveling because here you had Christ who had walked the earth, done many miracles in front of them, taught them the truth, showed them the way of salvation, proved it time and again, fulfilled every prophecy, yet they were turning away so soon. Even after the commission that was given by them, the apostles, by Christ, they went throughout the world teaching and preaching the gospel, but they decided they were going to go to a new and different way. And it has not stopped. But let us always be warned. Let us always remember these things will happen. They have happened. We know that today. Well, there are so many denominations today. Where did they come from? It was a departure from the original testament given by the apostles and by Christ. But this is nothing new. This is not something to marvel at. That why is this happening? We shouldn't be concerned about the why. We should know that it will happen. Apostasy, widespread apostasy, was foretold by Christ. Jesus said In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There's one of our words again, lawlessness. There were many would come, even in that time, and say, look at all the things that we've done. There's going to come a day, a judgment day, that will come someday, and you'll stand before Christ, and what will you say? Well, look at all I've done for you, Christ. Look what all I've done for you, God. They'll say, depart. I never knew you. Should we expect then that there will be many apostates? Yes. He said there would be many who think they are following Christ, appear to be doing great things, but yet they're actually practicing lawlessness. For one, they're not building their house upon the rock. He mentions this in verses 24 through 27. And by what? By doing what Jesus Christ said to do. He also foretold in Matthew chapter 24, verse 10, he says that then many will be offended. Many will be offended by this. They'll betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, because the lawlessness will abound, and the love of many will grow cold. There's a stern warning by Jesus Christ at the very beginning that this will happen. So we should not marvel that there are so many different variations of what Christianity is talking about. Not only that, there are so many different religions that claims that there is a God. We should not be concerned or worried or even thoughtful or mindful that why is this happening? Just know that it was warned about and it has happened. In verses 24 and 25 of Matthew 24, the false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. That elect are those who are in Christianity. Those who are selected by God because they have done the will of God. They have obeyed the original path. They were walking on the original path, and yet here they are, tricked and deceived into doing things they should not be doing, led away by their own desires. And they were warned about it. Not only Christ warned, but Paul also warns us. In Acts chapter 20, Paul warned that false prophets would rise both outside and within. He says in verse 29, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Once again, we see that there's a stern warning. You see the savage wolves. Wolves are no secret. When you see wolves coming, you know what they're about. They're about to destroy and devour what they want. But those within will rise up to deceive, to draw away after themselves by cunning and craftiness. Peter gave the same warning in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. But there will be false prophets among the people, even as there will be false prophets among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their destructive ways, because whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. Peter explains that these things will happen. Not only will it happen, there will be many of them. It's no wonder in our time that we see what I call, and it's not uncommon, to be called charlatans. We see it on evangelistic television shows. It's everywhere. Most of it has to do with charlatanism, especially in this country. How they can deceive and show this health and wealth gospel. If you believe you can get this. If you give to me, you can have this. Look what God has done for me. But yet many times they'll see that this is only the beginning of the destruction. Let's go to a side point. Early in the writings of the epistles, one of the earlier writings was Thessalonians. It's considered to be the earlier writing. Paul wrote this, his second letter to the Thessalonians, which is considered to be among the earlier books of the New Testament. A widespread apostasy had not occurred. He says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes. First, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things?" God had foretold us. He had warned us. Well, we need to be understanding of that. We need to understand that that will come. This expression here in this passage of the falling away, here the translated word in the Greek word for falling away is apostasy. That's where we get our word. Paul uses the fact that a great apostasy had not yet occurred to refute the false claims from Christ's return already there. They were trying to tell those who were of the faith that Christ had already returned. That part's already done with. But he's refuting it. He's telling it, this has not come yet. The Lord's prediction of an apostasy would have to be fulfilled before that day would come. Well, what is that day? Well, that day is that day of the coming of God, the coming of Christ, when the judgment will come. So later on in the writings, one of some of the later books was in the book of John. But when John wrote his letter, these are considered to be among the latest books of the New Testament. These are at the end of the New Testament. This prediction had already been fulfilled. And from then on, Christ could come at any moment. That day is still here. This is the last day. The last days are here. Christ can come at any moment. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, he says, "And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we now know that this is the last hour." The last hour is still going. Since the close of the first century, the world has been filled with false and perverted forms of Christianity. Why so many differences? Well, I don't know why, and I'm not concerned, but we do need to search out the original Christian faith. The one that was given us at the beginning. There are so many differences. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 13, we know this, that enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few that find it. So once again, I press upon the fact that we shouldn't marvel so much. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. There are many ways that you can lose your faith. But narrow is that path, and few will find it. That's our proof that it doesn't take the masses. You'll hear some talk about, well, how could all these people be wrong? Aren't they good-intentioned people? Well, sure, they might be. But broad is that path. Narrow is the way. Whether it makes sense or not, the majority will be wrong. Well, this is why amongst ourselves we need to give earnest heed. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore we must give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. There is an earnest or an action that needs to be taken constantly. It never stops. And everyone who wants to walk in the ways prescribed by God, everyone who wants to believe and preach in the pure gospel, must do their best to avoid apostasy. And that leaves no one out. Well, what can we say? What more can we say about apostasy? How can we avoid this? How can we avoid apostasy? Amongst ourselves first, and then amongst our brethren around us. Well, one thing we need to do is know what causes apostasy. What causes it? What is the main root and cause of apostasy? Well, a simple note is the devil. Apostasy comes from the devil. It comes from Satan. God is not the author of confusion. We can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. And in James chapter 1, he talks about where the really true efforts of Satan attacks us. In James chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. And he said in verse 16, do not be deceived, my brethren. Do not be deceived. These things will come upon us. Envy. Self-seeking. Turn with me in James chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. James writes, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For there is envy and self-seeking exist, confusion in everything, and everything evil thing will be there. This envy and egotism is part of the two major causes of confusion in apostasy. It creates confusion that Paul explains that is not the nature of God, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. What's also in our pride and our arrogance. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7, therefore, as Holy Spirit says, beginning in verse 7, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of the trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways, so I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest any of you be of an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. They would not hear. They were with God. They heard God. They tested God to see if these things were so. It was proved. They saw His works for 40 years, yet they turned away from God. Nehemiah also said of Israel in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 26, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They cast your law behind their backs and killed your prophets, who testified against them to turn them to you, turn them to yourself, and they worked many great provocations. Here was the children of Israel. It's easy to pick on them because we see all the things that they have done. But we're no different. They cast their law behind their back. God sent out messengers and prophets, and they killed them. We will not walk in your ways. We will not listen to your ways. The Israelites were instructed over and over to teach the will of God, to teach the children of God. In Psalm chapter 78, the Israelites were instructed to teach their children the Word of God. And he says in verse 7, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And they may not be like your fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that does not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Time and again we see that they had turned away from the will of God to their own will. From the Old Testament, we learn that apostasy occurs when the people reject God. They reject His will. They refuse to obey His will. Well, our time is not much different. But even Jesus said in that day, in Mark chapter 7, verse 9, He said in those days, He was talking to those who were the religious leaders of that day. He says, "All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition." What was their tradition? Their tradition was these new and different ways that had nothing to do with what God would tell them to do. They wanted to do their own thing. They killed the prophets. God sent forth these prophets to warn the people, to teach them, to help them, to turn them back to the good past, the good ways. But time and again, you see that they were turned away and killed. Christ gave appointment and authority to the apostles. But yet, they were even refused in what they were teaching. Even the rejection of God and the rejection of Christ's messengers is apostasy. In Luke chapter 7, in verse 30, Luke explains to the Pharisees and lawyers that they had rejected the counsel of God for themselves by refusing to listen to John the Baptist. John was sent to give word, to give heed, to let them know, look, all these prophecies, he was telling the truth. All of these prophecies, they're coming now. This is that time which was spoken beforehand. But he said they rejected the counsel of God for themselves. This was John talking, and he said, you rejected the counsel of God. They also rejected the apostles. To his apostles, Jesus said, he who hears me, hears you, hears me. He who hears you, hears me, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 16. He who rejects me, and he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. So you see a pattern here. The apostles were sent by Him. They were to be heard by Him. They did not have their own word. They had God's word with them, Jesus Christ's word. And those who reject them reject Christ. Apostasy comes when people reject the word of Christ, reject the word of God and His apostles, which is now preserved for us in the New Testament. It has not changed. The one book that has not changed for virtually 2,000 years. The Holy Script has not been altered or changed in its context. It has not been changed. Jesus warned all men as well. He says in John chapter 12, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in that last day. The last day is here. There will be a final judgment day to come at any time. It could be at any moment. We don't know when that might be. So why does apostasy exist? Well, what is the apostasy of our time? We see the causes of it. We see that it was warned of. We know what apostasy is, that falling away. What is the apostasy of our time? Well, I tell you, it's no different from what we just talked about. It's the same exact thing that has happened time and again over years. There is no new and different way to do anything. There's only one way that God has given us from the beginning. And it's to follow His statutes and to know that anything against God comes from the devil. And understand that we have things within us we need to fight against. We need to work through these selfish desires and know what we're up against. And understand these causes. We need to get rid of our pride and our envy and understand that those things will haunt us and will bring us down. By a complete or partial rejection of God's word, we fall away and we turn into a rebellious people. But remember, God will have the final word on that very last day, and we'll stand before the throne and we'll know who God really is. Well, this completes the lesson. I just want to read one more passage of Scripture before we're led in our closing prayer and we are dismissed to our classes. But my brethren, my friends, I beg you to stay the course. No matter what kind of situation you may be in, understand that the truth of God will protect your mind and your soul and your heart. Nothing else is more important than that. In this world, in this earth, things are not normal anymore. We drive down the road at 70 miles an hour in a big hunk of machine. A little over 100 years ago, the main mode of transportation was our feet. This is not normal. So let's keep that in mind. Let's don't get caught up in the things of this world, our comforts and things that we see. Even when it comes down to just basic food. Jesus warned us of that. Let's stay the course. Don't forget the original good way. In Psalms chapter 62, I'll leave you with these passages. Psalm 62, beginning in verse 1. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Don't move. Don't go away from the old path. Again, in verse 5, he says, my soul waits silently for God alone. For my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. He is my refuge is in God. Trust in Him all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is refuge for us. I thank you for your good attention. We'll now be led.